Someone told you knee pain is just getting older? They were wrong. The Joint Relief Institute offers fast joint pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Me and Mr. Okay, you'll get that later. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another edition of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode. And just some little housekeeping items. Usually the podcast has been posted in the morning around 9 or 10 o'clock, but according to Craig...
Yes, that's me.
We are going to be posting it closer to the in the afternoon now.
Well,
Or is that not true?
I was talking to one of our digital experts here, and apparently WGN's website gets the most traffic in the early afternoon hours. So if you want to be in front of the most internet listeners,
you're better
possible,
off later.
You
got
to post a little later than earlier on.
All right, so what time do you think it would be posted?
I would say that consistently this podcast will be up between noon and 1.
Okay, so on Mondays... Not first thing in the morning. I will not be your cup of morning Joe.
You can be.
Well, I'm just saying, I will now be your brunch.
Yes.
Your Elton Jim brunch. Right. So around noon to 1 o'clock.
Inching closer and closer to afternoon.
Yeah. that would be interesting. that's when the new episodes of the podcast then will be posted around noon, between noon and 1 o'clock every Monday. So check that in your online guide. And this is episode 41, and as I said, we are inching closer and closer to episode 52, and there's going to be big doings there. I'm just going to say, wow, this is a year. That's the big doings. But anyway, I wanted to talk about a couple of different things today, and then later on in the show, even though this podcast will be posted on February 27th, which is the day after the Academy Awards will have been announced and handed out, we will be talking about it on this podcast in the future tense, because I am recording this before the award ceremony. However, I do believe that it is valid, because this podcast, even with the delayed posting,
yes,
will still be on... we'll be live and new less than 24 hours from when the Academy Awards began, mm-hmm. and certainly when they were handed out, which is about midnight. So I feel that we will certainly, and you will, we all will be talking about the Oscars on Monday morning and all day Monday, who won, who said this, who did that. So it's viable in terms of a programming thing. But just so you know, you'll be able to, we will be talking in the future tense. But obviously,
through the magic of radio editing, if you want to say two different things, I'll just pick the one that's,
oh, there you
that's
go.
Right, and then we'll put that in.
Wow,
later.
So I have all five. I will get all five.
You could just right now say everything that could possibly happen.
We do record this live. However, right. I mean, we don't stop. I don't do separate things. It's live, and if there's mistakes, we leave them in. That's the charm of the show. but certainly, Craig does have the power.
We could take
to
a,
edit. So right. We could do like two different segments.
You could say something like Jimmy Kimmel was hilarious, and that Ben Affleck
right.
skit, or whoever it is, Matt Damon
right.
skit,
what?
Really great. And if that happens, I'll play it.
And then I could just say this person's going to win.
Right.
And then I could say 3, 2, 1. This person's going to win.
Right.
And then whoever won, you could just
say congratulations to every nominee.
Right.
And then I'll just wait.
And I just throw. Yeah. I could say all five names in each category, and you just throw them in. But I would never do that. For my, well, I don't know.
Maybe,
Let
it ruminate.
No, yeah, let me think about it in the next 25 minutes. But so we will be talking about it in the future tense, but you will get a chance to look at our scorecard as we talk about who we think may win. I think this is going to be an interesting Academy Awards event, just because there's a couple of things hovering over it. The Academy needs to make up for, or at least address, last year's lack of minority or people of color nominated in major categories. They have certainly made up for that in the nominations. So now it will be interesting to see if it also makes up for that in the actual winners. And the other thing, which I think will play a major role, is that we have a very interesting political climate right now. And Hollywood and many of the movers and shakers and many of the most popular actors and actresses in Hollywood are very active in this political climate of being very anti-Trump. And so I would assume that we are going to hear some very pointed political speeches throughout the night. I think that's going to wind up being the story. It's the only question is going to be who said what and how controversial was it? And this will all probably spring out of the, I don't know if you want to call it, influence of Meryl Streep at the Golden Globes last month when she gave a very pointed political speech. So I think the fact that we've got this Trump, anti-Trump movement that is really rooted a lot in Hollywood, as well as the do-over or makeup for last year, you're going to see a lot of political and a lot of message speeches, as well as, I think, message winners. So we will talk about that later. What I want to talk about at the beginning here, if you've listened to this podcast with any kind of regularity, what I try to do, even though we're on only once a week, what I try to do is make this an ongoing conversation between me and you, the regular listener. And there are some payoffs if you do listen on a regular basis, because I do try to refer back to previous podcasts if something interesting has come up. So there is a sense of continuity in that this is an ongoing conversation and not just specific little conversations that live on their own. It's the hope is, like a regular daily radio show, to build some kind of camaraderie with you. And so it does pay off if you do listen on a regular basis. And so let me touch on something specific on the first topic I want to talk about. You know, back in December, I was talking that I was I made a trip to New York to the Carnegie Deli, which is a very well-known New York establishment on 55th and 7th Avenue, right near Carnegie Hall, which is why it's called Carnegie Deli. It became most prominent thanks to an inclusion in a 1984 Woody Allen movie called Broadway Danny Rose, but it has been a New York landmark for decades, and especially the last, like I said, 30-some years since it was inclusion in that movie. But it's been at that corner since the 30s, and it was known for its highly stacked deli sandwiches and just huge portions of everything, as well as, and here's the key point, its walls filled with pictures of celebrities who have come and eaten there, and they would sign the picture and they would put the picture up on the wall. And it became a tradition. I'm sure it started with just, hey, you know, Woody Allen walked in, or, you know, somebody could just sign a picture, and you see that, or even right here in Chicago. But then, of course, if in New York, it's got to be on steroids. So it suddenly became, a fixture of the place. Well, as in a weird, you know, fall of of circumstances, my picture has been hanging in the Carnegie Deli since 1998. Quick story: I had the owner on almost 20 years ago on a radio show that I was doing. I made a joke at the end of the interview. I said, "Hey, the least you could do is put my picture up, on the wall." And he said, "Hey, you send me an autographed picture, I'll put it up." I didn't think he would. I sent the picture. I went to the Carnegie Deli 2 months later, and there was my picture on the wall. And it's been hanging there ever since.
Who are you next to?
I moved around a few times. Last time I was next to David Hyde Pierce and Linda Gray from Dallas.
Nice.
Very good. And in fact, the first time I ever went there, I'd never met this guy, Sandy Levine, who was, his wife owned it, whose father owned it, but he ran it. He was kind of a bon vivant kind of guy, very personable. And I had never met him before, just talked to him on the radio for a half hour. I hadn't talked to him in 2 months. I go there, I introduce myself, and he looks at me and goes, "Hey, come here." And he walks me through, and he goes, "There's your picture." He knew exactly where he put it.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was very cool. Every time I went to New York, I would stop in the Carnegie Deli for a great sandwich, as well as just to dust off my picture.
Did you sit near it?
A few times I did. I mean, a lot of times you didn't have choice because it was so crowded in there.
Right.
But a few times I did. And a few times people would look and go, and they know who the hell I was, which makes sense because, especially in New York, I mean,
right,
nobody knows But they would look, and I would go, yeah, that is me.
To be honest, that is a great selfie now. I don't know if selfies were popular when you were going, but that is a great selfie.
Yeah, and I have that actually on my timeline on my Facebook page. That's my picture in the Carnegie Deli is amongst all the other pictures. That's where that's from. So it's always been a very cool thing. I'm way into entertainment since a little kid. And so to be on the wall, whether it's deserving or not, on the Carnegie Deli, when I was 20, I saw this movie brought by Danny Rose. I said, I have to go to that restaurant. And lo and behold, not only did I go to the restaurant, but I had my picture on the wall. So it was very cool. And in fact, a few times he moved the picture around because they would get more pictures. And every time I'd come in, he'd go, wait, I moved your picture, but it's right over here. And he would move it in better spots. I mean, it was like there was a point where it was right on the main row, like eye level. Mm-hmm. I was like, Sandy, I don't know what I ever did for you, but thank you. So anyway, let's fast forward. As I said, an announcement came out in October that the Carnegie Deli was going to close on New Year's Eve 2016 in December. Unfortunately, Sandy and his wife went through a very messy divorce. There were a lot of allegations. It was very bitter. They're both getting older. They divorced over the last year and a half or so. And she just wanted, I think, just wanted to be done with this. She's getting older. And so she decided to close the place. So I went there in early December. And where my picture was, the actual original Carnegie Deli was actually a pretty small place. It had a deli counter. It was a deli with a few chairs. When it got so popular from the 80s on, especially after the Woody Allen movie, they expanded into a room next to it. And that's where my picture was. Because those pictures, it started organically with the pictures. And so the pictures were kind of haphazard in the original place. Wherever there was a piece of wall, they would put it. It wasn't like it was built for that. But when they added this other room, there was tons of wall space. And then, because it would become a tradition. And so my picture was in that room. So when I went in December, that room was bricked off, that additional room. So my picture was not up anymore. It was just mainly A-listers, and I expected that. But I did wonder, geez, I wonder what happened to my picture. And I thought, well, maybe, who knows, maybe they're going to sell the place, and maybe someone else will open it.
Yeah.
And maybe they're just going to have those pictures in storage and put them back up again. So this is the interesting thing. A good friend of mine, so the place did close on December 31st, a few months ago. In mid-January, a good friend of mine sends me this story, and it says, Carnegie Deli throws out all of its pictures, all of its, autographed photos. So I read in the story, and apparently on some Wednesday in January, in a bunch of plastic bins, they threw out, they kept the Woody Allen one. Because they named a sandwich after.
Yeah, you got to keep that one.
But they threw them all out, and they put them outside in front of the place and basically said, look, if anybody wants to walk by and take an autographed picture, you could take it. It's a piece of history, blah, blah, blah. If not, it's out there for the garbage men to take. So, but here's the best part. When I initially gave the picture, I spoke to this guy, Sandy, and as I said, he and his wife had a very messy divorce. So the way this dumping of all the pictures started was that once they closed, the wife said, well, I don't know what to do with all these pictures, but I know damn well I am getting rid of all the ones that are signed to Sandy because I don't want to see this guy's name anymore. Well, naturally, guess what mine had on it?
It looks like you wrote to Sandy.
It said to Sandy. Because he's the one who said, hey, you give me a thing. So I'm like, hey, I'm at the time, I'm buttering up to Sandy.
Sure.
I want this thing to get hung up. So I put it to Sandy and the Carnegie Deli. But I had to Sandy. And once again, if you go on my Facebook page, you'll see my inscription on there. It says to Sandy and the Carnegie Deli. So I know that my picture was probably the first to go. As soon as she saw to Sandy, throw it in the bin. So, I mean, you know, I'm sitting there one at the one time I thought, you know, wow, I wonder what happened to the picture. But when I saw that, so then apparently this must have been a cathartic thing for her. And they started to pull down all the two Sandys. And then she just must have said, you know what? Who cares? You know how you get when you start to do some spring cleaning? You start throwing one little thing out, and then all of a sudden you look around and you go, oh, maybe I could throw it. And then you almost get like endorphins. They hit. It's like running a marathon. You can't wait to throw more stuff out.
I'm separating from this. Why not just everything?
Yeah, and so I think that's what happened. And so she just said, you know what? Just get rid of all of them. Mm-hmm. And so apparently on some random Wednesday in New York back in January, I'm sure my picture was out on the streets of New York. And I'm sure people were rifling through them and going, who the hell is this guy? And so I'm sure at this point, sadly, the sad part of this is that I can understand from a personal standpoint, this woman wanting to sort of shed this. Couldn't have been a very good situation. And I don't know. Like I said, I can't believe that somebody won't buy the Carnegie Deli in some way, whether they move it out of that spot. But that is a gold mine. It is a New York institution. And I can't believe that someone's not going to buy that name or buy that recipe or something and open a new version, either in that space or someplace else.
And need all the photos. You'd need all the photos.
Well, that's what I mean. My first impression was I think they're just going to close it. Maybe she's going to close it and her ownership will end. But then in 2 months, we're going to see how someone came along, gave her $50 million, and right. It's opening again. And, of course, you'd want all those pictures. So the fact that she threw them out,
yeah,
I don't think that she's
there's gonna, no plan.
No. And whoever's going to start it again might have to start with their own pictures.
It's, you know, that's weird. I think it's a New York thing. Didn't David Letterman throw out a bunch of his crap? Wasn't there?
The Letterman set.
Chair, yeah, it was
the
all Letter, thrown out.
Well, but once again, Letterman didn't do that. That was CBS property.
Yeah, okay.
And they just threw that out. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Letterman would have wanted to keep
right.
something, but you know, he probably didn't think about it. But yeah, that was just in the garbage. Yeah, you know, they.
That's just out, a New York thing. They just,
out with the
you know.
Yeah, out with the old, in with the new. So. It's sad. The only reason that it's sad for me, regardless, I mean, hey, my picture was up there for 20 years. It was very cool, and I got a kick out of it, and I'll always remember it. It was a great memory. And this is the point, is that I understand the owner's feeling of anger or bitterness or whatever from a personal standpoint, but the other side of the coin is that restaurant was not just her memory. That restaurant was a memory for a lot of people. And I have really cool memories of going there and seeing my picture and walk around and having some great meals and meeting people that I know from New York or other friends and let's go to the Carnegie. And I have very clear and good memories of that place. And so while I can understand why she wanted to shed the skin of it and get rid of those pictures, those pictures, some of them very dated. I mean, some of these were celebrities that I didn't even know about. But it added, as I said, to the charm of the place. And if you would want to recreate that, those pictures, even the old ones of obscure people, that was the charm of it. It was just this schlocky place that has all these bad pictures up on the walls. And that place was memories for other people. And so, it was kind of a bitter memory for her, and I could see why she would want to cathartically throw everything out. In by doing that, she kind of threw out other people's memories too.
Yeah.
And so that's a little unfortunate. But from my own personal standpoint, I went from 20 years on the wall at the Carnegie Deli to basically New York trash. Issue 2 here at Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic at WGNplus.com. So, this is not a New York-centric show on purpose, but it just seems I've got a couple of topics here. So, once again, I'm not one of these people. I've been born and raised in Chicago. I love Chicago. I've lived here my whole life. I am a Chicago Northwest Sider and proud of it. But I also love New York City. And I'm not one of those people from Chicago that thinks you have to hate New York. I love the Yankees. In fact, my only baseball coat, like the official, like starter baseball jacket, is a Yankee jacket.
That's good. That's a good decision.
Yeah. I never had a Cubs jacket. I mean, when I was a little kid, I did.
Sure.
But when I was
thrust upon
17
you.
Or 18, when I was going to buy, and that was buying a starter jacket back in the 80s, those weren't cheap. I mean, now everybody buys sports memorabilia, but it wasn't cheap at that time, and a lot of people didn't have them. But I went out and bought a starter jacket, and it was a Yankees jacket. I'm like, that is the baseball insignia, and that is the baseball team. And I always had a Yankee hat as well. I've always loved New York.
I've always thought you were a smart man. I now officially think you're a genius because that's great.
Yeah, always just loved the – I mean, in the 70s, they were the most interesting – you know, the Bronx Zoo with George Steinbrenner and Billy Martin and Sparky Lyle and Reggie Jackson. It was great theater. But anyway, I've always loved New York. And as I said, I go there at least once or twice a year and just – I don't think there's any problem with celebrating Chicago, but I don't think that you can. I don't think you have to downgrade New York to celebrate Chicago. New York, whether you like it or not, is the center of the universe, and it is. And you can talk all about this is bad. It doesn't matter. All I want you to do is step in the middle of Times Square, and you tell me it's not the center of the universe. It's nothing against Chicago. It's a great city.
Chicago's wonderful.
Great city.
It doesn't also have to be the center of the universe.
Right, exactly. And New York is. It just is.
Right.
Deal with it.
Everybody doesn't want to live in the center
of
the universe.
No, exactly.
A lot of people like
living in
other places.
And Chicago is a much more livable city.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. But when you get to New York, and I've always said, as soon as you get off the plane, at LaGuardia especially, or at JFK, but if you have to start walking faster. There is a pace. You cannot just walk.
Right.
You have to walk. There's a New York pace, and I always put on what I call my New York face. And it's mostly an angry, disgusted face.
Yep.
And I never look anybody in the eye. And that's why when I'm in New York, everybody asks me for directions because they think I'm from New York. And thankfully, I know the city, and having gone there enough, I can actually direct people now. But I must have that look on my face that I'm from New York. That's my New York face. Don't bother me, especially homeless people. Don't bug me. But anyway, so, as I said before, hugely, I've been into entertainment since I was a little kid. And movies, television, all that stuff. And I have, you know, nowadays, I mean, I don't know. I mean, now with the internet, it doesn't take much to be a trivia expert because everybody just goes on their phone and finds out the answer. But there was a time when people didn't know the answers to stuff, and I did. Now I don't know how much that has in much as much credence as it does before. But here's the thing. In New York, naturally, in 1904, there was a club formed called the Friars Club. And it was basically a private club for entertainers. Even in the early 1900s, entertainers were bugged and bothered a lot by the public. And so they were looking for a place where they can sort of just hide away, have a nice meal without being bothered. And yes, there was this sense. I mean, back in those days, there were a lot of clubs and lodges and the Masons and the you know, the Lions Club. There was a lot of clubs. There basically was, it seemed like it was, you know, guys wanted to get away from their wives because women.
Oh, really?
Well,
because
that's
so weird.
Women were never involved, you know, allowed in these clubs. But so in 1904, the Friars Club was started, and it was mostly a lot of you know, entertainment people. And so as time went on, it got to be it got to be quite renowned. And then, of course, it became known for its celebrity roasts, like in the 50s, because everybody, members of the club, were all, you know, high-powered, well-known, some of the biggest stars, if not the biggest stars in the world, were all members of the club. So they would all hang out together, and they would have fun amongst themselves, and they would roast each other, and, you know, once again, it was like they're being at the Raccoon Lodge on the Honeymooners. So the Friars Club became a very, you know, well-known place. And if you were an entertainment fan like me, you heard about these references to the Friars Club and these famous Friars Club's roasts. Now, over the last 10 years or so, you may have known that Comedy Central started to put together, in conjunction with the Friars Club, these roasts that then were telecast. And Jeff Ross, the comedian, who was a member of the Friars Club, started that. And then, I guess, Comedy Central just said, well, why do we need the Friars Club? We'll just do it on our own. But this whole idea of roasting, of making fun of a celebrity and having other celebrities, you know, just totally make fun of them, started at the Friars Club, at least was made famous by the Friars Club. And they supposedly, in their heyday, once again, this was a private club. These were not televised. These were not on radio. These were all private. And apparently, they got to be a little raunchy, too. That's where the whole idea of the roast came from. And because this was a private club and because it was a spot where a lot of, the biggest entertainers of the world could sort of let their hair down and not have to worry about anything, a lot of these Friars Club's roasts at the club itself were pretty raunchy because they got, these celebrities just got to be themselves. They weren't worried about the public. They weren't televised and no one ever knew what they said, but they became infamous just through Hollywood lore. So once again, as a kid growing up and being enamored about the entertainment world, I heard about the Friars Club. In the back of my mind, in my wildest dreams, I always thought, wouldn't it be cool to have lunch at the Friars Club? You know, it's just this place filled with all this history. And there's like a Frank Sinatra room and a Lucille Ball room. And there's, the bar is dedicated to this and there's pictures and there are celebrities in there.
If you compared it to something, would it be as cool as having your face up as a photo on the Carnegie Deli wall? Is it similar to that?
It's along those lines.
Okay, cool. Okay, good.
I think it's got a little more because you're actually...
Right. You're in the club.
You're in the club. You're a member of the club.
You're being fancy.
Hello, fellow friar. So... as in a weird twist of fate that is too long to tell the story, but let me just say, in 1998, in a weird, a covalence of forces, I meet somebody who is a member of the Friars Club. He lives in California. I live in Chicago. We should never have met. We should never have even brought up the Friars Club. Somehow we did meet, we did bring up the Friars Club, and I said to him, it's always been my goal to go to the Friars Club. I met this guy for 10 minutes. He goes, here's my card. The next time you go to New York, go to the Friars Club, tell him lunch is on me. And I say to this guy, oh my gosh, but I'd like to go with you. He goes, you know what? I go to New York. I'm from New York. I live in Los Angeles now, but I go to New York a couple times a year. The next time I go, if you're serious, I will call you. And I'll take it. Okay, I figured this is another Carnegie Deli picture story. It's never going to happen. But I gave him my phone number anyway. 2 months later, phone rings. This guy says, I don't know if you remember me. I met you at this thing. I'm going to be in New York over Valentine's Day. If you want to go to the Friars Club, I'd be happy to take you. Holy smokes. So call up the wife and said, guess where we're going to be on Valentine's Day. We go, we have lunch at the Friars Club, and I'm in all my glory. It's just really cool. It's this beautiful club. It's near Park Avenue. It's this old building. They call it the monastery because of the friars. This old building with this big, dark oak, staircase, and there's the pool room. It's the Frank Sinatra pool room, and there's a bust of Frank Sinatra. And once again, there's pictures on the wall, and there's the Friars Club dining room with the giant insignia. I mean, I'm just in heaven. As I continue, he says, let me take you on a tour.
Okay. Hey.
So I walk around and he goes, hey, here we are in the, this is a regular men's club. There's a gym, there's a locker room, there's a sauna. I mean, it's a whole thing, even though it's in this kind of brownstone in New York. So it's not just a place to eat. It's a place to congregate. There's card rooms. There's guys sitting there playing bridge. In the middle of the day.
Nice.
It's a club. There's another an area for lunch as well as dinner. The whole
thing. And there were wives there. Wives were allowed.
Yeah.
In
oh, they were like, yeah. Well, now, I mean, in the 80s, this is the 90s. I'm just saying. I heard stories that, every huge Bob Hope, Jack Benny, Milton Berle, George Burns, all these people We're all members, obviously. Like right now, even the abbot, the ceremonial head of it, is Jerry Lewis.
Wow.
I mean, this is everybody who's everybody. Jerry Lewis has been the head of it. Frank Sinatra, Ed Sullivan, Milton Berle, everybody you could think of over the last, you know, 50 years, 100 years of entertainment seems to have been a member of the Friars Club. But I've heard stories that, like, George Burns' wife, who was Gracie Allen, right, who was admittedly probably the bigger, the more funnier of the two on the Burns and Allen show.
Sure.
She had to wait in the lobby.
Wow.
People would walk in, and there was Jack Benny's wife and Gracie Allen sitting.
Don't sit in the lobby.
In the
ladies.
Lobby because they cannot get in.
They should go somewhere else. No one.
Well, but this,
not
is,
have
but this
the
is the 30s. This is okay. the 40s, All and right. that's the way it was. But my point is Gracie Allen, you can argue, was a bigger star than George Burns.
Sure.
She couldn't get in.
Wow.
Yeah. So my point is there's a great history to this place. So, as in a weird turn of events, as I'm walking around the place, I say, well, how do you become a member? And this guy says, well, you have to have two members sponsor you. And I said, oh, really? So I look at him. I go, well, I've got one, right? And he goes, why would you want to be a member? And I said, oh, my God. So now we go to the gym. And I didn't know this guy was a macher. This guy was kind of a, I mean, I met this guy, but I didn't know, you know, he actually donated some equipment to the gym.
Wow.
Yeah. So I didn't even know who I was with here.
Right.
So
you sat down and, like, there was a nameplate on the
equipment. Yeah, it was. It said, wow. Donated by this guy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I'm like, holy smokes, you know. So now I sit down, and another weird twist of fate. So now we're in this locker room, and there's a guy working out. And this guy says to me, oh, meet Jim Toronto here. He's a friend of mine. You know, he's from Chicago. This guy goes, well, I'm from Chicago. And he says, and at that time I was working in public relations, and he says, oh, I used to work for J. Walter Thompson, which is a huge
sure.
advertising agency here. I said, well, you know, I'm in PR. Oh, which one do you? I said, well, I said the company. Oh, that's one of the biggest companies. Oh, I know, you know this guy? Turned out we knew some of the same people. So this guy that I know says to this guy, well, you know, he's thinking of joining. Would you sponsor him? And he goes, yeah.
Boom.
I got two sponsors.
You're in the Friars Club.
So I get the form, fill it out. 1998 was a big year for me in terms of joining
it
things.
It really was.
1998 was the year my picture went up.
You were huge in New York.
Yeah, and was not in Chicago at all. Still, and 20 years later, still not. New York, to some extent, you know, through whatever weird twist of fate. In May of 1998, inducted or accepted into the Friars Club. So I've been a member since 1998, almost 20 years now. Now, granted, I mean, I'm only in New York one or two times a year. I don't really get a sense, you know, a chance to really use. If I lived in New York, I'd be there every week. But, you know, but I do have the card. I do go there. Right. There's always two stops. It's Carnegie Deli and the Friars Club. Whenever I go to New York, I have to at least get my, you know, use whatever I can. But as I said, it's unfortunate that I'm not there more often because I would love to just hang out there and could. I'd love to be one of those bad guys that just plays bridge all day. But here's the thing. So every year they send out a directory. So I just get this directory in the mail the other day. And so, you know, whenever you get a directory like this, the first thing you do is what?
Look up your name.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
You don't look up anything else.
No, I don't care about the other people.
Just want to make sure your name is right. There. So, of course, I page through, and I'm looking, and as I said, I'm looking at all these things, and here's some of the people that they've roasted, you know, Rich Little, Jerry Lewis, Phyllis Diller, Bob, you know, Bob Newhart, you know, Don Rickles. I mean, you know, like I said, this is the who's who of celebrities in the last 50 or 100 years, actually. So I get to the directory part, and it's obviously in alphabetical order, and they also, next to your name, they put the month and the year that you became a member. So I go right to the T's, and I find my name. Okay, so this is what I thought was interesting. And I think I knew this, but when I get to the end of the story, you realize that there's a new twist to it. I find my name, and I'm looking around at the other names.
Sure, why not?
Whose name do you think is right on top of mine?
I'd have to think about it alphabetically.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure.
Okay. Now, there, like I said, there's some very prominent people in this.
Sure.
I'm looking right here under the S's. Barbara Streisand's name is right there.
Oh, look at that.
I'm looking at the T's. If you thought, oh, don't forget, now this is alphabetical. My name is spelled T-U-R-A-N-O.
Mm-hmm.
If you thought John Travolta, not bad guess.
Not a bad guess.
T-R-A, Travolta.
It's close. It sounds close.
R before you, though, so he's ahead of me.
You're within reaching distance.
I am within one, two, three, four names.
Wow.
He has four names on top of me.
Wow.
But who's right on top of me?
I don't know.
Who's right on top of me? Starts with a T.
I got that part.
Second letter R.
Okay. Going to need at least one more letter.
Has a pretty good job now.
TR and has like a really good job now?
Biggest job in the world.
You're saying that your name is next to...
Donald Trump!
The President of the United States.
The President of the United States is above my name.
You're holding it up. I can
see
it.
I can see it. I'm not bullshit.
No.
Donald Trump.
Wow.
So I'm sitting here going, first of all, it's hit me. Now I've been a member since, he's been a member since only 2004.
So wait, it's Travolta? Who's after Travolta?
Well, they're not all celebrities.
Okay, not
there's
all,
some
wait,
other, like,
I
you
was
know.
Just curious because.
Yeah, like Shannon Tresh. I don't know who that is.
You said that every person who gets this book does that same thing.
Yeah.
Look up their name.
Right.
And I bet President Donald Trump also does that.
Well, here's my point. Part A is, I am in the same club as the President of the United States.
And Travolta, which both are cool.
Right, but my point is, I could walk, if I ever meet Donald Trump, the first thing I say to him is not, hello, Mr. President.
Right.
It's, hello, fellow friar. Because he was a friar before he was president.
You got to come up with a cool nickname for being next to like locker buddies in
school
or something.
Yeah, right, yeah. We're directory buddies.
You're directory buddies.
Yeah. But here's the other. So I, first of all, this idiot from the northwest side of Chicago is in the same club. I am a member of the same club as the president of the United States.
And you even got in before him.
Yeah, 15 years before.
Right.
1998, May of 1998. Now, here's the other side. As we said, whenever you get a directory of any kind, you look up your name.
Right.
Now, I don't know. You know, I mean, over the last month and a half, Donald Trump's mail has changed
a
bit.
The address has changed.
The address has changed. And the amount of mail or the kind of mail that gets through to his desk may have changed. I don't know.
I think the Friars Club directory gets through.
Is the Friars Club directory that's probably sent to a New York address, will it get sent back, you know, will it be ushered off to Washington?
I think it ends up in his hands.
But here's the thing. So when Donald Trump opens up the directory to see his name.
His newly minted name.
Which has been there since 2004, but he's going to look to make sure his name is there just like I did. And through peripheral vision. When he looks in the book, he's going to see my name. He has to. Right under
it. Who is this Toronto?
Yeah, I don't know who this Jim Toronto is, but for a second, the same eyes who look at the nuclear football, the same eyes that look into the eyes of Benjamin Netanyahu,
correct?
The same eyes that look into Melania Trump's eyes.
Right.
The same eyes that look with hatred on Katie Turr, the MSNBC reporter. Those same eyes that look around the White House on a daily basis will also be looking at my name.
That's amazing.
He won't think about it. He doesn't know who the hell I am. Just like know who Vanessa Trouble is, who's right after us, but...
This is a directory with phone numbers and stuff?
No, just the date.
Okay.
Yeah, but...
You should track down your directory buddies and try to get the president on.
But, you know, we are fellow friars.
Right.
But for a second at least, when Donald Trump looks in the directory, he's going to have to look to see, well, where's my name? He'll have to be, and he may pass it. He might go past it because he doesn't see it right away, and he may stop on mine first and then look up and go, oh, there it is.
Right.
Oh, I thought it was Toronto. No, no, it's Trump. It's right up there. So the president of the United States is going to see my name, and that's why I'm a friar. And if that's the sound of Culture Club, it could only mean one thing. It's time for the Pop Culture Club here at Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic. And we are joined now by, speaking of clubs, I love clubs, obviously. I'm a member of the Friars Club, and now I've got my own Pop Culture Club that I created. And here's one of the card-carrying members, a gold ticket, I would say, Emily Armonetti. Are you there, Emily?
I am.
How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Very good. Just telling, I don't know if you were able to hear any of that on hold, but did you hear that I am a member of the same club of the President of the United States?
I did. I was kind of wondering, is that a club you want to be in?
Well, that's a good question.
You have to ask yourself.
Right. Yeah, well, I'm wondering now, you know, I mean, Trump has been a member since 2004.
Sure.
I wonder if some friars are going to resign because he's a member.
You never know.
That is true. But I just found it ironic that I am a member of the same club as the President of the United States. Emily, I've known you for 15 years or so. Do you realize who you're talking to right now?
He's directory buddies.
Directory buddies?
Exactly.
My name.
See, but you think so, but here's what I think. So his name appears before yours, right?
Well, he's president.
I had to give him that. He goes, he scrolls down the list.
Right.
As soon as he gets to Trump, he stops.
Right, he might stop,
he's never even seen your name.
No, because peripherally, he will even if he takes his index finger and strolls down, when he lifts up his finger after he sees Trump, he will still see my name.
Sometimes you get lost in one of those directories.
Right.
You go past your name. Yeah, you get confused.
Yeah, he's going to be going, you know, all of a sudden, you know, Ivanka's going to be coming in while he's paging down. What?
Bannon's going to be saying something.
What did you say? Right. What did you say, Mike Pence? You know, I'm here. I'm looking at my name in the directory. Would you stop bothering me? I don't care about, you know, what's going on in Russia. I want to see if my name is in the directory for Friars Club. Who's Toronto?
You know what? Do you know what's so funny? That actually is probably really what happened.
It is. It's true. I don't care what you say.
I mean,
and you're not going to be able to.
The guy who spends more time on Twitter, he has to be spending more time on Twitter than doing anything else.
Well,
so
in between.
I would not doubt for a second that he's like, excuse me, I'm very busy looking up my name at the Friars Club.
In between tweets.
I'm gonna have to wait.
In between tweets and in between NSA briefings, he's going through the Friars Club directory for 2016. And I don't care, you or anyone else are not going to burst my bubble. The president is reading my name.
Listen, I think you should tweet him.
Yeah, I think you should.
Twitter,
fellow friar.
Twitter handle.
Let's get all the directory buddies in studio.
Yes, he will probably tweet you back.
Right, he probably will.
Why don't you say something nice? If you're nice.
Take a photo of the directory.
Okay. Fellow friar.
And tweet him.
Yeah.
Yes.
I should. I mean, at the very least, I think it's a good idea. I might put the picture of that on my Facebook page.
You need to do
it. Because
it's
very funny. I just think it's ironic. I mean, I might get a lot of hate mail, but who knows. But anyway, all I have to say is that when push comes to shove, I'm a member of the same club as the president of the United States.
It's a generous way to describe him again, as Emily said.
I mean, I'm not.
It's
I'm looking.
Truthful.
You know what? I mean, I'm looking in here. I'm looking in here under the P's. I don't even see Putin. Putin's not even in here.
I don't know how.
Oh, you will. Just
wait.
Well, yeah, because
got one friar.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He just needs one more Russian actor.
You know what?
He's got. You know what? Yakov Smirnoff is probably going to be the other one.
If you tweeted at Trump and offered to be the second sponsor for Putin, you'd probably get a lot of retweets.
Let me see. Wait.
Guaranteed tweet back.
Let me see if Yakov Smirnoff in my country, party follow you. In America, you follow party. In my country, party follow you. Let me see. He made $1 million with that joke in the Cold War.
I can't believe you remember.
Oh, Yakov. Let me see. I guarantee you, Yakov Smirnoff. Let me see. I'm in the directory now.
This is
and you're going up and
the
down.
President of the Pop Culture Club.
Right.
Remember stuff like that.
As I'm looking through the S's for Smirnoff, I'm finding Dick and Tommy Smothers. D. Snyder of Twisted Sister.
Get out of here.
Yes. He's a
friend. That might be cooler than being with the president.
Paul Sorvino. Nice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm telling you, this is no slouch club here. Nancy Sinatra. I can't believe that Yakov Smirnoff.
You didn't get in yet.
Is not. I can't. I am a member of a club that Yakov is not a member of. Wow. How could Yakov Smirnoff? No, wait. Maybe. Wait, no. Oh, well. So
he couldn't
Are there any other Russian actors that we know of? Is what's her name? Misha Barton? Is she?
She's a tennis player.
I don't think she's Russian.
Yeah, well, Misha. I'm just thinking of Russian names.
Yeah.
Who's another Russian actor that can vouch for Putin? But anyway. So I wanted to talk about the Academy Awards. As I said at the top of the podcast here, this podcast will not be posted until after the awards are given out. Mm-hmm. But there will still be Oscar talk and buzz on Monday. I'm sure Academy Awards will be trending on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's fair that we still talk about it.
There'll be a whole postmortem.
That's what I mean, yeah. And this will be posted before, even 24 hours before after the Academy Awards are handed out. So I think we're still viable. But to save time, as well as not to go over stuff to bore people, just because when they hear this, they will know who have won. But we need to be on the record for this, because this is a pop culture club. And my gosh, how do you talk about pop culture and not talk about the Academy Awards? So I just wanted to get your thoughts on... we'll do the five top ones, and I've kind of narrowed this down to who I think are the two possible winners. And if there's someone else in the category, you tell me. But let's start for 2017. Yes, I understand, listeners, you know who won, but let's pretend you don't. So,
well, this will be a test. This is a test
right,
of our skill.
Exactly, right. And now you will know. We will have gone on record as, and once again, you know, these podcasts are played months afterwards. So what's the difference? The people will know then. So Best Supporting Actress. I've got it nailed down between Viola Davis and Octavia Spencer. Is there anyone else you think that might win?
Well, I would love to see Michelle Williams win.
From Manchester by the Sea.
Right. I mean, she hasn't, you know, I personally think Viola Davis is going to win this, but
yeah.
If she didn't, I would love to see Michelle Williams win. But she's like, you know, she's one of my favorite actresses. I think she's...
Well, she.
Yeah,
I think she has. Yeah,
a few times before. So.
I think she has an outside shot. The only reason why I think Viola Davis will win is for a reason I mentioned at the top of the podcast. This Oscar event is going to be kind of framed by last year's lack of blacks or people of color that were nominated, and the current political climate of anti-Trump. Viola Davis loves to talk. She loves to give a speech. And Hollywood knows it. And I think they're going to give it to Viola, and she's going to walk up there all pissed off. And she is going to give some rousing anti-Trump speech.
I don't know if I agree with you, because first of all, I think that Viola Davis is going to win. I mean, she's got the momentum this award season, but I think she's going to win based on the role, not because people want to see what she has to say. And, you know, she won the Tony for playing the same role in the Broadway revival. And, you know, I think this is her. This is obviously her performance. This is her win.
Oh.
And I think it's going to be her moment. And I don't think she's going to waste it talking about Trump.
Oh, my gosh. How much money do you have?
We are recording. This is going to be official.
Because, there is no way. I mean, I don't know if you saw her on the SAG Awards.
She's very good friends with Meryl Streep.
I know, and Meryl Streep gave that speech.
She said it all already.
Okay, but wait, did you either...
What else is there to say?
Did you see her on the Golden Globes or on the SAG Awards? I can't remember. As she was walking up to get her award, I could see her getting angrier and angrier. She walked up to get the award so she can start to spew. I mean, look, everybody that's up for the nomination are qualified to win this, and she certainly is qualified. And as you said, I think Michelle Williams plays a good role. But I just think that with the non African Americans from last year, as well as the political climate, I think it is a sure thing. Not only is Viola Davis going to win, but I think that she is going to give a hell and brimstone speech.
They don't make a lot of Leonardo DiCaprio people anymore. She was supposed to win in 2011 for The Help, and she didn't win.
Right. No,
there starts to be like a career thing that happens too, though, Jim.
Yeah,
so.
I know that. But this, all of a sudden in the last several months, Manchester by the Sea was a very early favorite, and suddenly Fences in the last several months, and especially at the SAG Awards, which is a very good indicator of the Academy Awards, because that's actually voted by actors who are in the Screen Actors Guild, and many of those people who vote in the Screen Actors Guild are also members of the Academy. So you can forget about the Golden Globe. That's like 100 drunken, you know,
the red herring.
Yeah, that's just a show. That doesn't count for anything. The SAG Awards, the Screen Actors Guild Awards, we just gave out last in January. Those are a much more clear indicator, and she won that. So I'm going to go with Viola Davis, and with the added sense that she's also going to give a fire and brimstone speech. So you just watch when that happens.
Hey.
Although you won't know that, but when you hear this, you'll say, son of a bee, he was right. So now supporting actor, who I've got it nailed down to. Now, how do we say his name? Mahershala Ali from Moonlight, or Dev Patel from Lion. I've got it down to those two. Do you agree with those? Is there someone else's name that you think?
So here's what I'm thinking. I mean, I do think Mahershala Ali probably has it in the bag. However, in the supporting actor categories, you know that those are the ones that are always most likely to, they're most ripe for an upset.
Yeah, those are always
Yeah, I say if there's going to be an upset, I think possibly Michael Shannon for Nocturnal Animals.
Holy long shots.
That's what I'm, yeah.
Wow, that's not even a long shot. That's a bong shot.
Well, this is a category that they love to see a long shot.
They do love a long shot. And
the
underdog. And that movie has gotten a lot of buzz. But I think, once again, he won the Screen Actors Guild thing. And when he won that Screen Actors Guild award, I mean, the place was standing. They were crying. I think they want him to win this award. Plus, Moonlight.
It is to lose, you think. Huh?
Yeah, I really do.
You guys are really underestimating the power of Lion and Sonny Pawar getting to go up on stage with Dev Patel.
I no.
Everybody loves the Sonny kid.
Oh, no, and there's no doubt. That's why I put Dev Patel in there, because I think, and plus, if he did get it, and I was on the fence. I was going to go with Dev Patel,
because Sonny goes too, and we love Sonny right now.
And Lion has gotten, and plus that does help the diversity of, because then there's an Indian, you know, not just African American, but I just think that this guy's portrayal. I mean, to Emily's point, get away from the politics of this. He just plays a really good role, and he is a very good actor, and I just think that. That he's going to get it, but Dev Patel, I would not be surprised. I was right on the edge of that.
Right.
I was nowhere near Emily's ridiculous prediction.
Well, we'll see.
I mean, you might as well have said my name, because we have about the same chance of winning. And I'm not even nominated.
Are you going? Yeah, are you attending?
Oh, yeah, I'm going.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Definitely going. So, best actress. I've got it down to Emma Stone or Natalie Portman. Anybody else in the category you think might win?
There is no chance it's going to be anyone other than Emma Stone.
Yeah, there is no chance. So, yeah. La La Land. Emma Stone is this year's Anne Hathaway. Everybody loves her. It's a shoe-in. And I said to you, and I said it on this show several weeks ago, if you remember, when I was in New York in December, when I went to my Carnegie Deli, I told you I was walking down the street on 50th Street outside of Rockefeller Center on a Friday night, and there were all these young people sleeping in the street waiting for tickets for Saturday Night Live. And I said, what are you waiting for? Who's on tomorrow? And they go, Emma Stone. She's awesome.
The best thing ever.
Best thing ever. I was like, wow. Yeah. They're sleeping on the streets for Emma Stone?
Sure.
Wow. Yeah, I think, I've heard really good things about Natalie Portman's portrayal of Jackie O. The movie has not done very well, and everybody loves La La Land, and everybody loves Emma Stone. So I think that's just that's in the bag. And we both agree on that. So it's nice to see, Emily, it's nice to see you back to reality after your horrendous Michael Shannon prediction.
Well, we still have, one or two?
You got a couple more to go.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, okay. So now, best actor. I've got, once again, now narrowed down to two. Casey Affleck and Denzel Washington for Fences. Casey Affleck for Manchester by the Sea. Anybody else's name you think?
No, I think this is definitely a two-horse race.
Yeah, and who do you think wins it?
Well, I think a week ago I would have said hands down Casey Affleck, but now
yeah, exactly.
He's got some scandal.
Yeah,
everyone's kind of talking about now within the last week, and I actually do think so. He was involved in a sexual harassment case for when he was directing. I think he directed a film. It was like a documentary about Joaquin Phoenix, or it was a mockumentary of some kind, and so he was accused by a couple of his crew members of sexual harassment. Now, that was settled out of court, and we don't really know anything about the details, but nevertheless, this has popped back up in the press, and I think that it is something that could really affect his chances of I think he's looking less likely now, which paves the way for a Denzel Washington win.
I totally agree with you.
Denzel Washington to win? I'm not really a huge Denzel fan, but not because of his acting. I do think he's a great actor, but I think he's really kind of like, he's got a huge ego, and it's just kind of a turnoff.
Well, you know, the thing is, too, I mean, Denzel was probably a long shot, and even to some extent was even initially, when the whole award season started, was kind of viewed as, well, maybe they just got to throw him in there because he's a well-known name and he's African-American, once again, based on last year. And then suddenly, I don't know where this happened. I think this Casey Affleck story, especially in the PC world of Hollywood, you know, and especially sexual harassment, that doesn't fly. So I think that is sadly, whether it has nothing to do with his performance, I think that is going to hurt him. And we are in a moment now where I think Fences, once again, is becoming embraced by more people. And once again, don't forget, he did win the Screen Actors Guild, Denzel. So, yeah, I think that Casey Affleck, if the voting was a month ago, he would have won. But whenever this story came out, all of a sudden Denzel's stock has gone way up. And so now here's the thing.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Look at what we've just said. Aside from your ridiculous Michael Shannon prediction, I have, out of the first four, I've got three African-American winners. Viola Davis.
Wow, yeah.
How do you say that? Maharshala? Marshala?
Mahershala.
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 Mahershala Ali. And now Denzel Washington. So I've got three African-Americans out of four winning.
Right.
So now here's the final question. So here's the final question. Best picture. Okay. I've got it down to two and a wild card. The two I have that are right in the running are La La Land and Moonlight. Moonlight, African-American based movie. In fact, no white actors in it at all. Director black, entire cast black, no white actors. Very rough and gritty, poignant story about a kid raised in a very difficult family life over a period of years. Very tough movie. And La La Land, on the other side, is a throwback to the Gene Kelly era of musicals. It's the artist all over again. It's what Hollywood loves to embrace. But at the same time, in the political climate, and last year, to give it to a very tough and gritty African-American movie, once again, maybe sending a message. So do we go with the Hollywood, or do we go with the rough and tough message movie? And here's my wild card. Hidden Figures. I think Hidden Figures, which here's a story which I can't believe, is a story about three African-American women who played a pivotal role in the development of our lunar landing in 1968 as a part of NASA. How could we not have heard about this story in 50 years? Isn't that crazy?
I know, it is.
I can't believe in this day and age, over the last 30 years, as more, you know, women's issues and prominence of women, I can't believe that that story was buried somewhere. I'm shocked that that is. But here's the thing. You know, there's two factions. You've got, they can go with La La Land, which got all the nominations, which is a, much like The Artist, it's a very artsy film, and it plays to Hollywood's nostalgia, and it plays to the musical, and so the lost Hollywood musical of Gene Kelly, so there's all that. And then you've got the tough African-American film, which would once again send a message and be a little payback for last year. The wild card, I think, is Hidden Figures because it is an African-American story, it is historical, and it's a little more uplifting. Moonlight's a very difficult and dark film.
Sure.
And Hidden Figures, which did win the Screen Actors Guild for Best Ensemble in a Movie, I think might be the surprise winner in this because it's an African-American story, it's historical, which the Academy always likes, and it is very inspiring in this time of exclusion by many people and in this, you know, this heated political time. So I'm going to actually go out on a limb and say, on a huge wild card, Hidden Figures. What do you say?
Interesting. That is a huge wild card. Now you've lost your mind. And so I am going to go safe with the film that is going to win it,
oh,
which is La La Land.
Really?
And
so you think?
I just think between Emma Stone's momentum, Damien Chazelle has also generated a lot of momentum this award season.
As a director.
I think La La Land cannot lose.
Really? See, I think that La La Land has lost a La La lot of momentum. And I just think that this, I cannot underestimate. I really believe that this is going to be a very politically dominated Oscars.
I want to pause for a second.
To say to that,
oh, go ahead, Emily. What do you?
I think you are going to la-la lose.
Oh, wow.
I want to pause for a second to talk to the listeners who already know the outcome. We understand that Jim was crazy when he said that La La Land wouldn't win.
No.
We understand he really did believe that it wouldn't win.
You are going to go, when you listen to this, because once again, this is posted on Monday. I realize that the winner has already been announced. And you are going to say, holy smokes, how did he pick that one?
Yet again, as a disclaimer to everyone that knows, we are sorry he's saying this.
We are not. Why, you think La La Land's going to win?
Oh, for sure.
Really?
It can't lose.
It can't. Whoa!
It can't lose.
And why? And so, Emily, you're in the same thing. It cannot lose.
As we speak, Jim is no longer the president of the he's been impeached.
You don't
it
think
was rough.
You don't think that my logic in explaining my choice makes sense?
I think all you have left now is the Friars. Actually, all you have left is the Friars Club director.
That's true. His directory buddies.
I'll tell you, if it was 4 months ago, I would agree with you. La La Land was just breezing by. But in the time since the voting for the Oscars have happened, and this is a political game as much as it is about merit. The Academy Awards has always been that. In the last month, since the voting has happened, we have had the Women's March. We have had a deportation executive order. And we have had protests about exclusion and diversity and bigotry. And I just think Hollywood is ground zero for the anti-Trump, view, and they are going to have a billion people watching. There is no better time to get out all of the Hollywood, viewpoint on Trump than at this Oscar telecast, and I think they're going to vote that way to send a message to him. And if you want to vote that way, I think that's the way to go. This is not about whimsical musicals. That's my prediction.
Okay, well, we will see.
We've just gotten word that Donald Trump is tweeting at Jim Toronto, his directory buddy.
How crazy were you
to not pick La La Land?
And I'm not. And I'm like I said, I'm not here to support Trump. I'm just saying that there. I just think after that Meryl Streep thing at the Golden Globes, there is just you could just see. I think that ABC wants that for the ratings. If there, I think on today when this is we're appearing as we're talking today on Monday, February 27, when this breaks. We are right now, the rest of the world, aside from us, because we're taping this early, we are all discussing which speech was the most inflammatory. That's what we're going to be talking about. Not, did you believe that one person's speech? It's like, whose do you think was the most damning or controversial? That's going to be the story coming out of this Oscars.
Okay, we'll see.
Not La La Land, Emily. I think you're in La La Land because you picked Michael Shannon.
that's only one.
I like the La La Land down, like put downs you guys are using.
Yeah, we do have. Yeah.
You're gonna La La Lose.
I like La La Lose. I think that you're in La La Land. Yeah, there's. I mean, once again,
the possibilities are endless.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a headline writer for a newspaper, you gotta love the La La Land. La La, because right here, because you know what the headline's going to be? La La Land, La La Loses.
Well, see, now you're really, I see now you're really putting a stake in the ground.
Hidden Figures.
Been thrown, so.
Hidden Figures, .. Hidden Winner, !!
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Thing.
So, anyway, we both agreed on Viola Davis, right?
Yes.
We both agreed on Mahershala Ali. How do you say his name?
Mahershala Ali.
You're so big at him, Jim, and you don't know how to say his name.
I know. I love him.
Thanks, man.
I love him on House of Cards. He played Remy. Great role.
Yeah.
Emma Stone, we both agreed on. So we both agreed on everything except the best picture, though. Think about it.
Yeah.
No, she went out of the box on Shannon.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, I didn't.
Oh, that's right. I don't even have that down. I mean, it's so silly.
You ignored it. Yeah.
I didn't think of it, but I did say if this is not going to Mahershala Ali, it's going to go to Michael.
Oh, my God. That is. I can't wait. I cannot wait for Monday when everybody goes, what the hell was she talking about? I can't wait.
No one's going to be talking about your La La Land prediction, of course.
No, it's all going to be
right.
be bad.
Michael. For sure.
I can't wait to be watching the show on Sunday. When Michael Shannon wins, you are going to be jumping up and down in Austin, Texas, aren't you?
Oh, you know I will be.
So, okay, so now to recap. We both agree on Viola Davis supporting actress. I take Muhammad Ali. What's his name?
Mahershala Ali.
Mahershala Ali for Moonlight. You take Michael Shannon. What was he in? Boardwalk Empire? What is he even nominated for? Nocturnal Animals.
He's been in a lot of stuff. Nocturnal Animals
right.
is the nomination.
I understand. I know. In fact, he's a Chicago actor. He was at the Red Orchid Theater.
Wait, isn't he a British guy?
No, he's from Chicago.
I think you're wrong about that.
All right. Go on, Google.
No, he's right about that.
And once again, do you realize I'm a member of the same club that the President of the United States is a member of? Am I going to say stuff that's wrong?
Well, I don't think that's a path you want to go down.
I'm a member of the Friars Club. You do not question my Michael Shannon knowledge.
Emily makes a good point that your directory buddy does not always speak the
truth. I understand that, but I know about Michael Shannon. He was at the Red Orchid Theater here in Chicago. I don't know if he's from Chicago per se, but he has worked here in Chicago. I do not believe he is English. Can you look that up?
Alternative facts thing that people
Michael
talk
Shannon
about.
Was born August 7th, 1974. He is 42 years old. He was born in, I wish I had a drum roll, Lexington, Kentucky.
Lexington, Kentucky. That's you know what? That is so close to
there.
The United Kingdom. All you do is you take
like
a
the
right,
same thing, yeah.
You take a right turn and you fly 8 hours.
He definitely played a British guy in some role at one point.
Oh, okay. He played a British guy. Oh, okay.
I will do my research and report.
Wow.
Michael Shannon's father was an accounting professor at DePaul University.
And look up Red Orchid. Was he at the Red Orchid Theater? Thank you very much. Look at his career, Red Orchid Theater.
Michael may have also attended New Trier.
He may have. Oh, yeah, that's so British. It's like New England, New Wales, and New Trier. Wow.
Well, didn't most of us originally come from that?
But trust me, he's from the Red Orchid Theater in Chicago. And obviously, if he went to DePaul.
Okay, well, you win that one. That's the only one you're going to win this week. But
once again, la-di-da, la-di-da, la-la. Andy Hall fans will appreciate that.
It would be better if you said, well, la-la-di-da.
There you go. All right, so you had the ridiculous Michael Shannon choice, and then we both agreed on Denzel, and we parted ways. You said La La Land, and I say, as the one that people are going to go, wow, that guy knows what he's talking about, Hidden Figures, the upset winner. We will talk next week, and I will make fun of your Michael Shannon. In fact, from now on, I mean...
In
public and in private, I will constantly be making fun of your Michael Shannon prediction.
I'm sure.
I'm so glad you did that.
I have no doubt.
I can't wait. I finally have got something on you. It's great.
This will be etched on my grave.
Yeah, that's how you will now be. You will now be introduced on every future episode of the Pop Culture Club. Michael Shannon.
Unless he wins. Unless he wins. And then
you know what's so
forget all. About my little trivia snafu.
Oh, I can't. I'm obviously going to watch it. But my gosh, I cannot wait now for Best Supporting Actor category.
I know. I'll be on the edge of my seat.
That's what I'm waiting for. Well, thank you so much, Emily. I appreciate your, as much as I appreciate your participation, I certainly cannot appreciate most of your predictions.
Okay.
But I appreciate you trying. It was interesting.
Thanks, Jim.
And we will talk to you soon. That's Emily Arminetti here at the Pop Culture Club. And it is time for me to say goodbye and close the curtain here on episode 41 of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode will be posted. And as I said, a little addendum to the thing. They will now be posted between noon and 1 o'clock every day as opposed to earlier in the morning. So you can have brunch and listen to the most ridiculous podcast on the internet. I'm Elton Jim Toronto from the end of the web to your screen.